Hello, namaste, Adab. Today we have with us Captain Ahmed, who's also a theatre enthusiast. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
So, sir, can you please tell us about your journey in the army? How did you start?
Okay. For me, army is like a family tradition because my father was in Air Force, my uncle was in army. My father's uncle has fought World War II. My brother was in army, he was a major general. My both brother-in-laws are in army or air force, so we have seen nothing else but army right the time we have been growing up.
Okay.
So it was a mission in our family that every boy must enter the army.
Okay.
And that was a challenge in front of me also. I wanted to become a teacher, but then my father says, okay, prove that you have got a medal to become an officer, clear the written at least. After that, you want to join, you don't want to join, is your call. And as luck would have it, I could clear the written. And once the written was clear, then I said, okay, let me attend the interview also. I attended the interview in the SSB Allahabad. And it was a very beautiful experience. 3 days, it was a very, very stringent exercise. And I came out with flying colors. I think I was in All India top 30 or something. So, you know, that is the time when you become from a boy or a man to take a decision. Should I leave a job which is a gusted officer job, or should I continue with my passion of teaching? And I decided, okay, let me take care of my parents also, as dad was also, you know, about to retire, etc. And that's where I decided to become an army officer and complete my father's dream that yes, my second son can also become an officer. And this is how I entered the army.
So, how was life in the army, sir? How many years did you serve?
Life in army is simply exciting. I think every youth in our country must join army. The moment I got in the training itself at OTA Chennai, I knew I have not taken a very simple decision because the life has literally turned upside down. Totally an indoor boy, totally into books, and suddenly I was an outdoor person. I had to do exercises, I have to run around, I have to do cross country, 40 kilometers walk in one night, etc., etc. It was a very tough life. But then, as they say, that adventure today we pay, and then we try to go to all these excursion camps and all. So life was good. It made me tough. It made me determined. I was already quite punctual, but then my training in academy made me much more punctual. And then when I became an officer, I was posted on to Siachen Glacier. How many of us get an opportunity to go to a glacier? I have stayed there on top of it.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So in total, I think I joined as a short service commission officer. So I left after completing my short service tenure of 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was the what made you leave the army?
I told you why I joined the army. Now the reason of leaving was I was very passionate about writing.
Okay.
And I wanted to become an independent writer. Whereas in the army, those times the rules say that I cannot write independently.
Okay.
I can write journals for army, articles for all those things. But as an independent writer, I would have had some restrictions and I wanted to explore the world outside.
Okay.
And that was the reason I decided to hang books and get into the creative world.
Okay. So do you think the transition from being an army officer to a civilian, is it an easy one or did it come with challenges?
Certainly it's not an easy one.
Okay.
It is a very difficult decision, though I was very determined to leave army. But after I had left army, I realized the security what I had in life of that uniform, of that belt, of that cap, was something beyond. I was so free to move anywhere with utter confidence because I was an army officer. And suddenly I had given that away. And I was like a normal citizen of India. And that's where then I felt, oh, that does matter, you know, bearing scars on your shoulder and that OG uniform. It was not certainly very simple, and civil world was having a very different kind of a atmosphere. Whereas in army, we are nurtured, you know, each and every officer there is there to support you and take you up. They make you learn new things. They make you professionally very, very sound so that you grow up to become a very fine officer. Whereas in the civil world, you are asked to perform right from the day one.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to spend time in making you nurture. They want a ready-made product, you know.
Yes.
So that was a difficult part initially to get into the civil life and deal with civilians with a different mentality.
Mm-hmm.
That was tough, but then it was good. That was also a learning curve of my life.
So, What got you into branding, sir?
I told you I wanted to become a writer. So when I left army, I wanted to become a writer. Hyderabad that time was not having Hindi film industry.
Okay.
It was only Telugu. I didn't know Telugu.
Okay.
And what other ways I could have written and earned some money was to get into copywriting and advertising.
Okay.
And this is how I entered into the advertising world. Okay. So I joined here as a copywriter, and over a period of time I realized, okay, this is also all about establishing supremacy. The way we in the army, we fight with the enemy and have our own supremacy, protect our land. This is how in marketing, we have to protect our clients, their brands, from the competition and make them look superior. I felt amazing. I said, oh, this is also a war happening. That's where initially I used to call it advertising.
Advertising.
Yeah, so my spelling of that used to be ADWARTISING. So I took the whole branding thing as a war, because the strategy is the strength what we are taught in the army. There, at stake is our Jawan's life, our border, our pride of the nation. Whereas here, the cost was not that high. Here it was only my client's success and revenues.
Yes.
And the same principles I applied in civil life, and I think I found my, battle over here, and I could do it well.
So all your skills in the army paid off, whatever you learned.
Very well. I think it was as good as doing an MBA. Is too small a thing, I think. That army course was much, much more refined one.
Okay.
Yeah, which really chiseled my thinking cells, my grey cells.
Okay, how did theatre happen?
Theatre also happened by chance. I was forced by one of my friends to come to watch a theatre from Sutradhar only, and that play was Sita Aparan Case.
Okay.
You know, somewhere I was always reluctant to go to theatre because I could feel that I feel a void when I come out of theatre. Maybe somewhere in the back of mind I wanted to be on stage, but being an introvert I could never be.
Okay.
So there was nothing else to do, and my friend insisted. We went to watch the theatre, and I was so zapped by that theatre show. So I came back, and then we got in touch with Vanessa. So he said, okay, whenever the workshop happens, come and join. And I came and I joined the workshop here, and the rest is history. The best moment was when after my production theatre, in one of the shows of Sita Aparan Case, I got to play the Ram.
Whoa.
That was the wow moment for me,
Definitely.
Typical aha moment of my life. The theatre which I had gone to watch, and I was admiring it so much, and in that I was performing that too with a legend called Vinay Verma. So,
dream come true.
Truly.
What is it, synchronicity?
Absolutely. They say life comes to a full circle. For me, that time that circle got completed when I played Ram. That's
lovely. So then, what else have you? You have performed, acted in commercial films?
Commercial films happened.
Okay.
Not that I have vied for it.
Okay.
Theatre had made people recognize the potential. Vinay sir himself has got me a couple of auditions. And that's where my first film I landed up with Vinay sir, that was called Bakrapur.
Okay.
It was a good film, didn't do very well at the box office, but I think on Amazon it's doing very well.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Sutradhar again was casting for the Razi Attack. We were fortunate enough to get a role in that. And then Dear Comrade happened.
Okay.
Then Virat Parvam happened.
Okay.
So films were happening, but then I was, I think, more inclined towards the theatre.
Towards theatre.
Yeah. So films still happen sometimes. I do short films, etc. I do web series. But the satisfaction of theatre is not there anywhere else.
Sir, I also heard that you are into writing.
As I said, writing was a passion for which I hung up my boots in the army. So certainly writing is there. I still write. I write a lot. I write a lot of poems. I have got a special inclination towards Hindi language.
Okay.
I am in love with, if I can call it, our national language. you know.
That will be again a huge debate.
A huge debate. It has already happened. Because out of passion, I said in one of the conferences, ki Rashtrabhasha Hindi ko mera salam, and couple of people stood up, sir, you cannot call it Rashtrabhasha. I said, okay, fine, I agree there, but then my heart is there, so I'll call it my Matrabhasha. They said, okay, perfectly fine. So, Hindi ke liye bahut dil lagta hai, kyunki aaj ka jo yuva peedhi hai, aaj ki jo yuva peedhi hai, the youths today have forgotten Hindi. They speak Hindi, but actually they don't understand Hindi. The beauty of the language is totally missed out. Kahavate, muhavre, jo lokoktiyan hain, aur jo hamara literature hai purana, itna kuch hai usme, usme hai, jise wo bolte hai na, ki asli Hindustan ki khushbu. Aaj ka yuva Hindustan ke khushbu se bahut dur hai.
Do you think this is because of Western influence?
Of course, yes. Majorly. Majorly it is because of that influence. My problem is somewhere ki it's not just our attire, but even our thought process has changed drastically. I loved Hyderabad when I was posted here, was because Hyderabad has stuck to its traditions, yet it was growing like anything, and today we all can see the results. You know? So this is the culture what I believe we all Indians should imbibe upon. We should not forget our roots and still go and conquer the world. But somewhere I feel today's youth is oblivion of the rich past what we have. But when they start digging in, they get more and more involved. And I'm just trying to see if I can bridge that gap through my writings, through my theater, or through my plays, etc. If I can bridge that gap, I feel very good about it.
Could you please tell us about your theater group, sir?
A theater group is a small group, I will call it. We started it basically because a lot of people, they wanted to steal out some time from their working life and practice theater. And I was also once upon a time that kind of an aspirant. So when we started doing plays with some other theater groups also, we found that there was a lot of problem in getting the you know, permissions to from the writer or their families and all. And that's where we realized ki why don't we have our own indigenous plays where we don't per se have to take a permission or something. And because I used to write and people have appreciated, so we started writing our plays. It went off well because we were writing on subjects which are relevant to today's society. And that's where we started it, and today we are doing a couple of shows here and there.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Sir, could you mention in the name of your productions?
One is called Basira Mata Ki Jai. When you hear the name, you think it might be a mytho, but it's not. It's all about don't waste food. And it's a woman-centric play. And it's halka phulka comedy bolte hain jisko hawa mahal purane zamane mein ek radio pe aata tha. Uski tarz pe ye play hai. Ek bahut bada social message jata hai audience ko ki ghar pe basi khana na ho. Cook only that much what you can consume. So that is the whole message, but present it in a very different what you can call it, some lighter moments in life. So that people don't know that we are trying to pass on a message, but by the end of the play, they all realize ye to hamare ghar ki kahani hai par aapke stage pe. So that's one play. Second play what I'm writing, what I have written is on Alzheimer. And old age abuse. Many time we see a lot of old people standing and begging on the roads. We don't know their story. You will be surprised to know a couple of them might be from very good families and they don't know that they are actually begging, they are just standing there. I have seen practically somewhere a woman beating an old man on the road, and I was aghast. They were looking like beggars. But that thing made me realize ki what could be the reason this particular thing is happening, and that initiated this thought process, why can't I write a play on this? And that play's name is Shoshan. Third play what I have written is try to take as talking, making youth introduced to the past. So we have gone in the eras of 60. Do you use WhatsApp?
Yes, I do. Who doesn't?
Absolutely. And how excited your anxiety comes to you when you don't see that some person has seen and not replied to you. Do you get anxious about it, and do glue tick aage still jawab nahi aaya abhi tak.
So I disabled my glue ticks.
Ah, smart girl. But in general, this anxiety is there.
Yes.
Today we send a message and we expect immediately a reply.
Yes.
There is once upon a time we never used to hear from our near and dear ones for 15 days or 20 days maybe. But all is well. That was the kind of philosophy at that time. अगर टेलीग्राम आया है मतलब कुछ खास है, या तो किसी की डेथ हो गई है या फिर कोई शादी है. These are the only two reasons for telegrams. Good news or death. Many places तो the moment लोग सुनते थे कि टेलीग्राम आया, the ladies of the house used to get into the what you can call it विलाप. क्या है दया चले गए कौन हो, पता पड़ता है कि नहीं भैया उनका बेटा हुआ. So ये था. और उस जमाने में अंतर्देशीय पत्र होते थे या पोस्ट कार्ड होते थे. ये चीजें हमारा कम्युनिकेशन का जरिया था, जो कभी 10 दिन में मिलता था तो कभी 15 दिन में. आजकल पोस्ट बहुत फास्ट हो गई बट उस जमाने में बहुत कम था. तो उस परिपेक्ष को लेकर 60s के एरा में मैंने वो कहानी लिखी. इट इज कॉल्ड 10 पैसे का पोस्ट कार्ड.
10 पैसे का पोस्ट कार्ड.
या तो इट इज प्रियांकी है. तो पहले अंक में एक बूढ़ी औरत का दिखाया है कि वो गांव में अकेली रह रही है और उसकी मनोदशा दिखाई है कि उसको बहुत दिनों से अपने बेटे का पत्नी आया.
अच्छा.
लेकिन उसको जो मनी ऑर्डर आता है तो वो खुश नहीं होती. कहती का फायदा ये 75 रुपए का 10 पैसे का एक तो पोस्ट कार्ड नहीं लिखत रहे. सो शी फील्स पेन कि मेरे बेटे ने मुझे चिट्ठी नहीं लिखी, पैसा का क्या. एंड द अदर वे वी आर शोन अ young married woman who separated from her husband due to some unforeseen reason. She is connected with him through postcards.
Okay.
She is writing romantic postcards to him. And that gentleman is on the border area. He is in a war zone. And these postcards are something which gives him relief in his war zone moments. He reads the same postcard again and again and again and remembers his wife. And this is how the plot is. So we are trying to showcase the importance of communication in those days and the anxiety which is existing in today's society. Because थोड़ा सा तहर जाओ लाइफ में, इतना तेज भागने की जरूरत नहीं है. तो ये है 10 पैसे का पोस्ट कार्ड. And one more thing I have written on, we generally feel a woman doesn't do anything at home if she is a homemaker. But she, maximum time she is busy responding to a doorbell or a telephone call. Seriously, I have experienced it personally. I stay for 2 days at home during a weekend and I know if my wife is not there, my life is hell, because every time to run and open the door for somebody. Keeping this, a plot came in mind and I have written a play called Doorbell, which is about a woman who is staying alone and how she interacts with people. It's more or less not a monologue, but there is only that woman on the stage all through the time.
Okay.
Coming out well. I hope you like it next time when we do it.
Definitely.
So these are the 4 plays on the card right now.
Okay. Any future plans?
For?
In theatre only or acting?
Of course, yes. Like I said, these things are running on.
They are running.
So they will keep on happening time and again. We keep on, we go to, we take our play to other cities also.
Background in the army, does it any way affect your performance, your art, your craft?
I think I told you in initial question only that my father was also in Air Force. So many times people ask me, Captain, where are you from? You know, and I say I am from all over India. The reason is that we have never stayed in a place more than 2 or 3 years because of the postings what my dad used to get.
Yes.
So that growing phase of my life had a major influence on my thought process.
Okay.
When my dad, I was born in Bidar. Dad was posted in Bidar.
Okay.
From Bidar, we went to Jodhpur, Rajasthan. We stayed there for a couple of years. Then we went to Jamnagar. And from Jamnagar, we came to Pune. From Pune, then we went to Bhuj. Now, these all cities were alien in those days. We had to search on atlas. That time, printed atlas used to come.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
I haven't seen.
Oh, lucky, lucky, lucky you. Otherwise, people today immediately take out GPS and the Bhuj and everything comes up. But once upon a time, we used to wonder, Bhuj, ye koi jagah ka naam hota hai. And when we had gone, it was pure desert.
Okay.
When we were staying in Lucknow, even Lucknow, we were 20 kilometers away from the city because the Air Force stations are always away from cities because of the aerodromes and the flying planes, etc. So, where we were staying in Bakshiva Talab, that was the station name in Lucknow, it was 20 kilometers away and was all surrounded by villages. So, मुझे याद है सुबह सुबह हम लोग दूध लेने जाते थे तो गांव में जाते थे दूध लेने तो पूरा खेत क्रॉस करके वो एक बीच में एक तालाब होता था उसको क्रॉस करके फिर जाते थे फिर उनकी भैंसे बंदी होती थी उनके घर में कभी वो गन्ना कटता रहता था या फिर चारे कटते रहते थे तो वो जो पूरा दृश्य मुझे याद आता है मेरे को प्रेमचंद की कहानियों में ले आता था और मैंने प्रेमचंद को बचपन में बहुत पढ़ा सो प्रेमचंद इज समबडी हुम आई कैन से इज माय इंस्पिरेशन इन राइटिंग और हिंदुस्तान के गांव देहात मुझे बहुत प्रिय है बहुत क्लोज है मेरे हाथ को बिकॉज मेरा काफ़ी हद तक बचपन वहां पे गुजरा तो आज भी जब मैं लिखता हूं ज़्यादातर मेरे टॉपिक्स यहां वहां से निकलते हैं जो मैंने बचपन में कभी एक्सपीरियंस किया तो वो ताज़े कभी कभी मेरी राइटिंग में आ जाती हैं एंड आर्मी सर्टेनली हैज हेल्प मी अ लॉट नॉट आई विल से ऑल ऑफ माय प्ले बट कहीं ना कहीं आपको मेरे प्लेस में एक आर्मी की झलक आ जाती है लाइक मेरे 10 पैसे के पोस्टकार्ड में मेरा तीसरा कैरेक्टर इज अ जवान ही इज ऑन द बॉर्डर एरिया एंड लाइकवाइज सो आर्मी में और एयरफोर्स के बैकग्राउंड में रहने का एक बहुत बड़ा फ़ायदा हुआ कि मुझे अलग अलग तरीके के लोगों से मिलने का मौका मिला लखनऊ में रहते हुए मैं केरला वासियों से भी मिला जबकि उस जमाने में लोग एवरीबडी वॉज मद्रासी डाउन हैदराबाद यू नो सब लोग मद्रासी थे बट तब हमें पता पड़ गया था नहीं केरल अलग होता है मलयालम अलग होता है तमिल अलग होता है कन्नड़िका अलग होता है और तेलुगु अलग होता है उड़िया अलग होता है तो ये सारी चीज़ें वरना मुझे कहाँ मिलती हैं जानने को ये सब चीज़ें और उनके खान पान उनका रहन सहन उनका उनकी लोक शैली उनके लोक नृत्य ये सारी चीज़ें मुझे सब जो भी देन है मेरी आर्मी से ही मैं कह सकता हूँ क्योंकि मैं इन सब के बीच में पला बड़ा हूँ तो वो जो विविधता है व्हाट वी कॉल इट रियली यूनिटी एंड डाइवर्सिटी एक्चुअली वी कैन सी दैट इन द आर्मी And even in my writing, I want to bring in those things.
Wonderful, sir. Wonderful. Sir, I heard you mentioned that you worked in Dear Comrade. Did you get a chance to work with Vijay Devarakonda?
Yeah, I think I was just fortunate enough. Okay. Because all my scenes were only with Vijay Devarakonda.
Okay.
Yeah. I was playing the negative character there, who causes Vijay Devarakonda to run away from the college.
Okay.
So I was, you can say, fortunate enough to have all my scenes only with him, and it was really a great experience working with him. You know, the good part is I had heard that he is from theatre background, and there I realized that he is also from Sutradhar. Okay. He has also learned acting from Sutradhar, and it was a very beautiful chemistry, I'll say. Because he realized after 2 days, he said, Captain, Telugu nahi aata. Maine kaha nahi aata. How did you land in this film? I said, director called me. He said, okay. And he was such a beautiful co-actor. He said, Captain, don't worry on the dialogue. You say whatever you want to say in Hindi. Keep the meaning same. I want the expressions perfect. Because I have to react to your dialogues. I said, okay, that I can do. And that's how the shooting in Dear Comrade became so convenient for me. Because I was the only one on the whole set who didn't know Telugu. And rest everyone was talking typically in Kakinada Telugu.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what was happening in and around me. So Vijay Devarakonda came as really a, I can call it an angel. That he said, okay, carry on, Captain. And all of our scenes went off so very well. He improvises on the spur of things also many times. His body action and all, and he will inform the director, sir, this is what I am trying to do, is it okay?
Mm-hmm.
Once he says okay, then he briefs the co-actors also. I am doing like this, so now the situation reaction should be like this.
Mm-hmm.
So the best scene was when I was dragging him out of the classroom holding his collar, and outside there was a slapping scene.
Mm-hmm.
So we were discussing the slap scene, and you know, the fight masters, they teach you the stunt masters, sorry. Okay, sir, when you hit, it should not hit his face, it should go out from here. It was looking very artificial to me.
Mm-hmm.
Theater mein tum log direct maarte hain.
Mm-hmm.
So, ek do shot hue, clear hue. Then, finally it came ki he had to hit me back.
Okay.
So, he said, sir, I'll be very aggressive. I said, please go ahead. He said, sir, then, but your action should come out very well ki aapko chok laga. I said, why do you want to take an action? You can mm-hmm. slap me. He said, are you sure? I said, yes, theater mein karte hain na. Kehta, sir, that's the spirit. Okay, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll not believe that one, that was the last scene of mine in the movie where he comes and he slaps me. He's actually slapped me very hard.
Okay.
And that scene was, I think, cut in one single go. It was very nice. So certainly working in both was an experience in itself.
You are both guru bhais.
Anyway, yes, that's a good thing. We're guru bhais. As older twin, that's a separate issue. But yes.
Definitely. Okay, sir. I'm going to change the questioning now. I will come back to your life in the army.
Okay. Quite a roller coaster questionnaire.
Yes.
Okay.
Similar to your profile, sir, you've dabbled in so many different things.
Yeah. I'll say again, God has been kind with me.
So, sir, you have served on two highest peaks in a war zone. So, could you please tell us about that?
Okay, as I said, God has been kind to me. So after my training, when my first posting came, it was in Siachen Glacier.
Okay.
And Siachen Glacier, as we all know today, it's a war zone, mm-hmm. undeclared war zone. And we were youngsters, I was hardly 23 years old. 23, yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And we went for a person who has been staying in the plains in hot areas like, you know, Lucknow, Bhuj and all these places. Suddenly we were transferred to ice clad mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually staying on heights which are 19,000 plus. Oxygen was less. We cannot breathe properly. Temperatures are sub-zero all the time. But we got acclimatized there. Army trains you for that. And when we finally were going on the Siachen for our, on the glacier that is, then the real challenge started. So we are told your first enemy is the weather, second enemy is the real enemy, that is a, you know, Pakistanis. And so we are told very clearly that you have to protect yourself against weather first.
Mm-hmm.
If a lot of people come back with amputated fingers, amputated toes, because of the frostbites.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of people come back with snow blindness. They lose their eyesight. Some people are not fortunate enough to come back alive also because they don't take precautions and their lungs get filled up with water. Their brains get filled up with water. So these are the kind of things which are very common there. And if we don't take precautions, we might end up in one of those situations. So when we went up, it was a 4 days walk to our base camp, and I was supposed to go to one particular post. I will not take the name of it, but that post was around 20,000 or 21,000 above the sea level. It was the second highest post. But while we were waiting to go on to that particular post, I got a message from my superior officer. I remember Major Praveen Chopra. He said, Ahmed, yaar, tell me bad news. And I said, kya ho gaya sir, ghar pe sab theek hai. Kehta, haan, ghar pe sab theek hai, dusri bad news hai. Maine kaha, wo kya hai? So he said, yaar, tere ko na Bana pe jana padega. And Bana is supposed to be the world's highest man-occupied post in a war zone.
Mm.
That is at around, I think, 24,000+ feet, I think so, above the sea level. And I think, what's the height of Mount Everest?
It's around
28,000. So the day I had gone over to the Bana, it was an adventure because we had to do a mountain climbing of around 500 meter ice fall, which is around 85 degrees in the what do you call it, the what do you call that? The vertical.
Vertical.
You know, that was a vertical wall of around 80 to 85 degrees. And we were doing all our mountaineering on that, and we climbed up on the top.
Mm.
Stayed there for a couple of weeks. And the bunker in which we were staying, it was just roughly 6x6. And I think we were 5 people staying in there.
Okay.
The height was just not even 3 feet. So either we were sitting like this,
mm-hmm.
or bending like this, or we were just sleeping all together.
Mm-hmm.
One person had to perforce become the sentry because 6 people cannot lie together. And outside the temperatures were minus 15, minus 20 degrees. And the moment you come, the only place to go was you're sleeping in the bunker or you come on the top of it and sit on top.
Mm-hmm.
But outside the temperatures are so closed and so chilled, sorry. And enemy is also looking for you.
Mm.
Every now and then firing was happening.
Okay.
So that was one of the most adventurous days of my life what I can recollect, being on that post.
Mm.
And day in and day out we used to chat with each other. Everest bhi bagal mein hota to chad jaate hai, 4000 hi aur chadna. So yes, I was fortunate enough to be there on world's 2 highest posts in Siachen Glacier.
That's amazing, sir. Sir, does the army, does or general or Jawan's religion matter in the army? Does the treatment differ? Do they treat you differently?
Okay, this is a very touchy question actually. Religion, personally, I believe it's a very personal thing, so I generally don't discuss it in public. But yes, when it comes for inspiration, there's no harm in discussing it. But today, the definition of religion is changing. It's used more for polarization. So coming back to the army days.
Mm-hmm.
When I went into the army, I went as an Indian. I didn't go there as a Muslim or a Hindu or a Christian. And so were all the other cadets who had come in. And so was the case with all my Jawan men and JCOs, the unit where I had gone. My unit was basically, belonged to people from Rajasthan, Haryana belt, and, UP belt. They were generally the Yadavas, who are called Ahirs.
Okay.
They are the one who generally are supposed to be the Yaduvanshis,
mm-hmm.
Krishna ke. So when I got posted into my unit, it was called the V Rahirs.
Okay.
The unit number was different. So Ahir Paltan mein main gaya. Aur army mein ye hota hai, aap jis Paltan mein jaate hain, aur us Paltan ka jo Bhagwan hota hai, wo aapka Bhagwan hota hai. Means your men's religion is your second religion.
Okay.
So though I was performing my namaz in my room, or I used to go to the masjid. No problems there, nobody had any objection. But at the same time, I was going for mandir parades also with my jawans. I remember how many bhajans I used to sing with them. So army is beautiful. I'm saying that religion is a binding force there, not a divisive force.
Okay.
And nobody is pointed out based on religion at all. It's all about your competence. It's all about your compatibility. It's all about your professionalism. It's all about your valor. It's all about your integrity, what matters.
Mm-hmm.
So religion certainly doesn't hold much of value in the way you are asking whether there is a different treatment to a particular religion or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Personally, I have not seen. I left army in 97. It was way back. So a whole generation is coming after that. What is the scenario today? I think it better be the same. The army is the only institution, or defense for that matter, where religion is not asked for. It's you as an Indian who go there, and as an Indian you return.
So what do you think about today's youth?
Today's youth, sounds very simple to say today's youth, but actually today's youth is way beyond what youth we were when we were actually youngsters. Today's youth is much, much more aware of what is happening in and around him or her, what is happening in the world in and around him or her. and that's a big boon. But at the same time, I feel somewhere the innocence has got, I'll not say killed, but compromised. How without being affected from the circumstances, we used to react when we were youngsters. Today's youth most of the time get biased because they hear so much of filth in the social media and otherwise. But at the same time, you'll not believe, last night I was sitting in a group of youngsters who were just the first time voters. And I was zapped to see their energy, the way they had their own viewpoints on today's political systems, the way the country is moving, where it is going, and how they wanted to steer it back to the same way where we can talk only about progress, progress, and progress. I was zapped. I thought, no, today's youth will be all about, anger and all those things, but there was a sensible crowd which was there, which was talking about it. So today's youth is something which is the foundation of our future. And I feel our future is very secure. I feel today's youth should read more about what has been our past, not about digging the graves, but reading the books where the real history is there. And we are not trying to bring out history in the sense, okay, when this Shasak came, to usne ye kara diya, wo kara diya. No. Look at the glorious part of our history and learn from that. How they were able to become such great leaders. How our culture was so beautiful. Our culture in India was never divided on basis of religion. If Shivaji was supposed to be, a voice against the Mughals, his voice were the Muslims who were there in his Senapati and all those things. And likewise, there are so many examples. If you go deep into that particular thing, we'll understand it. And I think today's youth have started understanding these things very, very, positively. So, only one piece of advice to the youth is, use your energy in the right direction. And today's youth, they know what they want to do. So many times to maybe the previous generation or our generation, it might find that it is rebellion to a different level altogether. But I think today's parents have also become very cool. They sit down with their children and they try to understand what is happening in their lives. And I don't think so. That era is there where parents are saying, do this and this only. I'm not saying it is not happening, it is still there. But majority of the youth today is very clear what they want to do. And I support that thought process. Do what you think you are best at, not what your education you have been trying to do all through your life, because it might not have been of your choice. I have gone in the army against my will. I have gone there to keep up my father's, will. I went there. It taught me a different thing altogether. In my life, I won't have experienced all this. That made me the person what I am today. That I started learning to explore adventure without any fear. That's where I could leave that plus a job of a trusted officer and come out and explore in the civil world as a mere copywriter. From copywriter, I became a strategist. Today, I've got my own branding company. While I'm handling a branding business and writing strategies for my clients, I'm also doing theater. While I'm doing theater, that is giving me exploration to write. I'm writing also. I'm having my own YouTube channel for my own poems. I do trainings, I impart trainings to the business heads. I coach them how to do business. So much of variations in life can come within one person. Today's youth is much more than what I am. So I'm having a lot of hopes with them. I learn from them every passing day. Most of my friend circle is under 25. And they keep my mind moving.
Okay.
I learn a lot from them. I hope I can become as energetic as them. But then.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your journey with us and such a wonderful message to the youth. So, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for taking me here. Thank you.